All right, tonight I will try to answer a question that was given probably a few years ago by somebody in this church. Don't know if they're here tonight or not. But it was one of the questions when Brandon did a collection of things that people would like to hear on. Somebody asked the question, why do we not recite the Lord's Prayer? So let's pray. Father, just ask now a blessing on your word. Help us to understand all that you have for us. Help us to understand your word and help me to speak it clearly tonight. Amen. Why do we not recite the Lord's Prayer? It is very common practice in some churches to recite the Lord's Prayer. Not honestly sure. Some churches may believe that it is a duty that you would terribly displease God if you didn't do. I'm not honestly sure about that, but there are numerous churches that would recite the Lord's Prayer on a semi-regular basis, perhaps even once a week at church, or if you get extremely religious, possibly even once a day. All right, let's look at the Lord's Prayer to start. Matthew chapter 6. We will read to get the context of how Jesus is talking here in Matthew chapter 6, beginning at the beginning through verse 18. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. All right, we have three basic subjects here in this passage. Alms, which is simply giving to the poor. Prayer and fasting. Jesus, one after another, spoke of these three subjects. And in reading through that passage, you come to a couple of main conclusions about the point that he is getting out with what he is saying. Number one is, your works should be done toward God, not man. Your prayer, your fasting, your alms, whatever you do, it should be centered toward God, not toward man. It should not be done to please men, and it should not be done to be seen of men so that they think you're spiritual or something special or whatever. And basically what God is doing here with these three things is what I'm going to call, he is putting them down to the level of reality. You know, we could get very, very sophisticated in serving a meal if we wanted to. Let's say we would go out and make some really beautifully decorated, handmade carrots and apples, and we would create a turkey out of styrofoam and paint it to be more golden brown than an oven ever gets your turkey when you actually bake one. And we could make a mud cake and frost it with poison from Triggs or whatever. And we could set all this stuff on the table, and the people who sit down to eat, there is nothing there for them to eat. As beautiful as it is and as fun as it may be, there is nothing there for them to eat. Now, as a matter of fact, this is what the religion is in most churches that pursue a formal kind of a religion. Okay? We'll call this formal Christianity versus real Christianity. Formal Christianity is the one who's got the decorated carrot on the table, the one who's got the fake turkey, the one who has all the pretty stuff. We do all these fun things when we get together at church. And the reason why, you know, if somebody were to put this fake food on the table to serve their company, what would be the number one reason somebody might do something that stupid? Because they didn't have anything real to put there? Well, that would probably be the number one reason. So, what Jesus is doing here in this passage is he is saying, reality, 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 reality. Why are you giving alms to the poor? Are you giving alms to the poor because they need it? Or are you giving alms to the poor because you want your neighbor to think you're special? And he says, you know, if you give gifts to the poor, and you did it so somebody would look at you and pat you on the back, God will not reward you for that. You are getting nothing for that besides the look of approval of your friend. That's it. That's all you got coming. And so on. And also with fasting, you know, Jesus doesn't go into great detail about fasting here. But there are many people, and this, of course, got very popular among the Catholic monks and so on, in historically, that fasting became a ritual. We fast because fasting is a good thing to do. Actually, I don't find any teaching in the Bible on fasting that is something that we do as a ritual. We fast the same exact reason we would sit down and eat. We fast for the same reason that we would get married. We fast for the same reason that we would go to sleep. Because it is something at that moment in our life that is needed to satisfy something. You know, you get in your car and you drive somewhere when you want to be somewhere other than where you are. You don't get in your car and drive somewhere when you wanted to be where you were, because a car takes you somewhere. You don't fast if everything in your life is exactly the way it is supposed to be and you're having no problems. For example, some people came to Jesus and said to him, "How come your disciples don't fast?" He said, "You know, the disciples of John, they all fast. But your disciples, why aren't they ever fasting? Was John more spiritual than you that he taught the disciples something that you aren't teaching yours?" And Jesus said, "How can the children of the bride chamber fast when the bridegroom is with them? The disciples didn't need anything. Jesus was there as a miracle worker to turn anything around that needed to be turned around. He could instantly accomplish anything that needed to be accomplished. Now, Jesus himself fasted, but his disciples didn't. They did not need anything. And Jesus said there's coming a time that the bridegroom's going to be taken away from them. They'll fast in those days. Now, the fact of the matter is, if anybody in this room fasts because you think that you're going to gain something from fasting when you have no purpose for fasting, you are exactly in the same boat as a person who eats that is already full. You will gain something. Fat. That's it. You will gain nothing spiritually by fasting without a purpose. So, especially when if we were going to fast, we are looking to God for something. And it is before God that we are fasting. Our fasting has no relationship then to anything else. So we don't disfigure our faces. I wonder how they did that. That would have been interesting. The Pharisees, the hypocrites, they disfigured their faces because they wanted everybody to know when they were fasting. And Jesus said, no, go anoint yourself and wash your face and look your best so that you don't make a spectacle of yourself. In this list of what we're going to call reality mode, Jesus is giving us an idea of how to pray. Okay, and what he's telling us when he tells us how we should pray is he's telling us to pray in reality mode. So he first tells us, don't pray like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets that they may be seen of men. Interesting way to pray. Standing on the street corner so people can watch you do it. He said, don't do that. Verse 6, he says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now, I'm going to make one quick comment here that Jesus does not go ahead and explain, but we can get this easily from the rest of the scriptures. Prayer does not need to be in secret to be right. Okay, many, many, many times in the New Testament, people prayed publicly. But a public prayer should not be prayed to be seen of men. It should be prayed to get something from God. All right? There is a difference there. If we pray in public for no other reason than because we want people to watch us pray, our prayer is absolutely worthless. Now, if we pray in public because we want something from God and we're praying with people who want something from God, that's not praying to be seen of men, that's praying before God. Then he says, when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen. If we would like to translate this into modern English, we might even be able to say, when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the Mennonites do. For they think they shall be heard by their much speaking. I have sat at a Mennonite table while the father prayed round the world three times while the food on the table is getting cold. And he's praying his ritual. Pray for this person in China and pray for your church here and pray for this there and pray for that. You know what? I have nothing in the world against praying for every single thing that can ever enter your mind. But when you sat down at the table to eat a meal, why are you wandering through the wilderness if it were not for the fact that you are performing a ritual in front of your family? Come on now, somebody say amen. That's ridiculous. I have no problem with somebody sitting down at the table and praying a prayer. Okay, we pray every time we sit down to eat. And usually pray for more than the food. At least for one other thing. But I have a problem. Because, you know, let's just put it this way. You can tell when somebody is sincere. When somebody is jabbering in a very high-toned, spiritual voice that they do not usually speak in when they're talking to their family or somebody else, they're jabbering away one after another, repeating the things they know they're supposed to pray for to be spiritual. Nobody feels it's real. Nobody gets anything out of it. God is hiding in a closet with his face in the covers, plugging his ears. God has no interest in that kind of prayer. So use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. So now Jesus gives us the things not to do. And then he tells us how we should pray. Now this prayer is nothing like the Mennonite prayer that I was just describing. He says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Jesus was rather unspiritual here because his prayer was only about a 30-second prayer. No time for the food to get cold there. Now let me tell you something. Anybody in this room who prays this exact prayer, even on a daily basis if you want to, is absolutely 100% good and right if you meant what you said. Okay, if you meant what you said, go ahead and pray the whole thing. But let me tell you something here. The reason I don't think that Jesus was telling us to repeat these words specifically, but rather he was giving us a style, the way we should pray, we should ask for the things that we need, and say, amen, be done. I think that's how he was telling us what to do here. But let's say, I've got a table sitting here, and all my family's gathered around me, and my little girl is sitting next to me, and she's got a cup here, and she asked for water, okay? So I just take a jug, and I just fill her glass. Now, she didn't take a sip out of that glass. It's full. Well, you know, I didn't fill it all the way up. There's still room in there. So a minute later, Dad, can I have water? So I take the water jug, and I finish filling it to the brim. So she has to put her lips on the cup to take the first drink, or otherwise it's going to spill, all right? Now, she doesn't take any drinks. And a minute later, Dad, can I have some water? Sure, you can have some water. So I turn the jug over the cup, and I just let it run. And it just pours out over the table, and it runs down on her lap, and it soaks the food on the table. And why is she asking for water if her cup is full? You know, if I went to God and said, give me this day my daily bread, God would say, what? I already did. It's in your freezer. You've got it in your cupboards. Your fridge is full. What are you talking about? I already gave it to you. Why are you asking for that? You didn't need that. You know, the fact of the matter is, I can go a month without getting any more bread from God, without praying that prayer, and I'm going to eat because there's that much food in my freezer and in my cupboards. That's pretty typical of most people. A few weeks, anyway, in most people's houses, you could eat. Now, I don't have a problem asking God to continue to provide my food. Okay, I know it's coming from him, and I know that if he ever chose to quit providing it, I'm going to starve. But asking for my bread for the day when he gave it to me last week is kind of silly. You know, he already did it. It's just about as silly as my little girl asking for me to fill her water cup when it's as full as it can get. I'm not interested in building an addition onto my house just to contain the extra food that I got because I asked for it. You know, I'm doing fine. Most of the things in the Lord's Prayer are things that we practically could pray every day and would be very well applied to our lives. However, I don't personally repeat the Lord's Prayer. I will just pray these things in my own words as they come to mind and as I feel them and as I feel like making requests about those specific things. I will pray them in my own words. I will pray them as I need them. Because if I made it a habit, let's say, to repeat the Lord's Prayer, and I'm not opposed to anybody repeating the Lord's Prayer, if you mean everything you're saying, but if a person makes it a habit to repeat the Lord's Prayer, it's probably going to end up in this camp of ritual instead of reality. It's going to be something you do, not something you meant. It's going to be something you said because you were supposed to say it, not something that you actually were asking for. Let's see in Luke chapter 11. We also have another instance where Jesus gave this same basic prayer. Not the same place, but a different time. In Luke 11, it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me three loaves? For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Again, I think we see very, very similar passage here in Luke chapter 11, where Jesus is putting the disciples right down into reality mode. He's telling them why to pray, how to pray, and what to expect to happen when you pray. And so he gives them a short, simple prayer. Ask for the things that you need. And then he goes on to explain just exactly how this works, that you ask for the things you need. So he tells the story about a friend, a person who has a friend, come to him at midnight, and he goes to his friend's house and asks for bread. And the friend doesn't really feel like getting up, but he does anyway, because the person had the audacity to come and ask at midnight. He gets up and gives him the bread. And so he says in verse 9, Then ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. In other words, he is simply saying, very simply here, you don't need to beat yourself up in prayer to get what you need. God already knew what you needed. And it's like if you're sitting around a table and your son asks for bread. Now, here we are, sitting at the table again. My daughter's sitting next to me. And she finishes the piece of bread that's on her plate. And she says, Daddy, can you pass me another piece of bread? Now, just how difficult of a prayer is that? By the way, I should have said this at the beginning. The word prayer in English is the word ask. Okay? It's that simple. When we pray to God, we are not engaged in a type of activity. We are simply asking Him for stuff. Okay, that's what prayer is. Some people think that prayer is a time of communication with God. It's a specific type of communication that you have with God. Actually, that's not what prayer is. Prayer is a time where you go to God and ask for the things that you need. So, Christina says, pass me a piece of bread. And let's see, how does she say it? Danny, can you pass me a piece of bread? Something like that. And that's all she has to say. The bread's coming. You know, she doesn't have to repeat the prayer on a daily basis for a week before I decide to pass it. Or any crazy thing. She just has to ask. I already knew she wanted more when she was finished with what was on her plate. So you pass her the bread. And Jesus says, that's what prayer is. That's how you get things from God. You just go up to Him and tell Him what you need. And that's all you have to do. Shut up. Now, prayer becomes more complicated than this for a number of things. And I'm not going to do a series on prayer tonight. It would take a number of weeks to go through a whole series on prayer. But this is the basic foundational level of what prayer is. There comes moments in time that prayer doesn't work just exactly like that. Like, for example, I am getting six people around this side of the table some soup in their bowls. And she says, pass me a piece of bread. She's going to wait till I finish filling those six bowls of soup, okay, because I'm engaged in something else. Now, she may say, pass me a piece of bread six times while she's waiting, but it's not going to come any faster because she does. And she would be much better off to say it once and shut up and wait for it, okay? And that's what God's basically telling us. You know, ask for what you want, and don't think that God's going to listen to you more if you speak it a lot, because that's really not what prayer is. Once you've said it, it's out. He's heard it. It becomes more complicated than that yet, because she might say, everything that Mom made tonight is gross. I want something else. And I would say at that point, what's on the table is all you get. That's it. That's what you're going to eat tonight. Now the fact of the matter is, and God says this very specifically to us, He will hear us if we ask things according to His will. We don't get to ask for things that are opposed to His will or that are going to hurt us or hurt somebody else and get our prayers answered. But He's talking about asking here for things that we need. If we ask for bread, He doesn't hand us a stone instead. He gives us what we ask for. You notice His application here, as we come to verse 13, is, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, more than what you would do, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? This is not daily bread. Now, how come Jesus didn't say in the Lord's Prayer, and give me the Holy Spirit? How come that wasn't in the Lord's Prayer? Well, because the fact of the matter was, the Lord's Prayer wasn't intended to be a ritualistic thing that we said every day. It was intended to give us an idea of how to pray. But at the end of the list here, Jesus says, you know, you can ask for your daily bread, and you can ask for your debts to be forgiven, and you can ask for God's will to be done, and so on. But He said, you know, if you really want to know how ready God is to give you the things that you ask for, ask Him for the Holy Spirit. If there's anything that God would be reluctant to give you as a human being, it would be to give you His own Holy Spirit. The biggest thing that you could ask for out of heaven that He's handing out right now. If there's anything that He would be reluctant to give you, it would be the biggest thing. And Jesus says, God is more likely to give you the Holy Spirit when you ask for it than he is to give, than you are to give your children bread when they ask for it. That puts prayer down into absolute simplicity. You don't have to be wild, you don't have to be crazy, you don't have to cry, you don't have to do it for so many weeks. Now, and by the way, there's other things in the scripture that teach us about not only prayer, but patience along with it, because God's time, sometimes he has reasons for taking his time to do things. Just like sometimes if your child might come to you and ask for a snack between meals, a wrong kind of a snack, a sugary snack, when you know that the thing they're asking for is actually going to be bad for them at that moment, you might say, no, we're having supper in a couple of hours, you're not going to have that right now. God will never withhold from a person something you ask for that is something that is good for you that you ought to have. If we go to Mark chapter 12, verse 38. And he said unto them in his doctrine, beware of scribes which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplaces and the chief seats in the synagogues and the uppermost rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses and for a pretense, that is for to pretend, they make long prayers. These shall receive greater damnation. You know, God never one time in the scriptures advocated long prayers for the sake of getting something. Jesus, at one point, condemned the disciples for the fact that they couldn't pray for 1 hour. Okay? Now, an hour-long prayer is a fairly long prayer, but Jesus didn't do hour-long prayers before every meal either, okay? Jesus did hour-long prayers before he went to the cross, and there will be a time in every Christian's life that hour-long prayers are in order because something is wrong. And you are watching and praying so you don't enter into temptation. Okay, there is a time to do that. And there is a time for hour-long prayers just because you have that many different things to say. But God cares nothing about the length of the prayer so much as he wants the sincerity of the prayer. He wants you to pray when you should pray. He wants you to ask for the things you should ask for. And he wants you to get the things that you want and need. But here, long prayers are condemned. Long prayers were also condemned in the passage that we read in Matthew chapter 6. Verse 7, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. We don't get more from God because we say more to him. If we asked for the things that we wanted to ask for and we said it, it's over. We're done with the prayer. In John 14, verse 13, Jesus gives us prayer in all its simplicity here. He says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. Let's read more. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Also in this passage here where Jesus is talking about prayer, and he's saying, ask whatever you want, ask it in my name and I will do it. He goes on to talk about the Holy Spirit that God will give. God will give the Holy Spirit not only because you asked for it, but God will give the Holy Spirit because Jesus asked God to give you the Holy Spirit. Today, in Christianity, we know the work of the Spirit in our lives in a couple of different, very distinct works. One is the sanctifying work that the Holy Spirit does in saving us, in baptizing us into the body of Christ. It's something that happens to every person who is born again. They are born of the Spirit. Okay, every single person in the room here who is a Christian has gotten the Holy Spirit already. If you are a Christian today, the Holy Spirit has come into you and you received a new birth through the work of the Spirit. But in spite of that, in spite of what the Holy Spirit has already done, God still tells us to ask for the Holy Spirit. Because it is the Holy Spirit that will comfort you. It is the Holy Spirit that guides you. It is the Holy Spirit that teaches you. It is the Holy Spirit that bears fruit in your life. Over and over and over again, all along your Christian life, till the day you die, the influence of the Holy Spirit is not only wanted, but it is necessary for you to live the Christian life that God wants you to live. Jesus said, ask God for the Holy Spirit. And if you ask Him for it, He is more likely to give it to you than you are to give your children bread. Ask for it. And while you're asking for the Holy Spirit, ask for all the other things that you need too. Because in such a manner, Jesus said, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. That's pretty conclusive. Now, to answer the question, in a simple sentence, why do we not recite the Lord's Prayer? We certainly, as a church, do not teach the recitation of the Lord's Prayer as a ritual. But anybody, any Christian, anytime is welcome to pray everything in the Lord's Prayer. And if you want to repeat it in words exactly as it says, if you mean it, go ahead and pray it, okay? We do not teach that you do it as a ritual, but we certainly would say you should pray all the things that are in the Lord's Prayer. So, that is a hope and answer to the question. Now pray for all those things that you want, all the things that you need. And God has promised that those things that you ask Him for, He does for you. Provided that you meet a couple of conditions, other conditions, that they are asked in the name of Jesus Christ, and that they are asked according to the will of God, and so on. And some of the things that you ask for, you will experience some patience in waiting for, because for reasons that only God knows, He does not always instantly do everything you beg for. Okay? But at the end of the day, if you're asking for something and God is not doing it for you, ask Him in a reasonable way. If you need to, on a daily basis, remind Him you're still waiting for it. He advocated that in one of the parables that He gave, that a person kept coming to this judge, troubling him every day until finally the judge gave her what she needed. Jesus compares that to prayer and says, do it, okay? But it's got to be sincere. You have to be going to God and asking for something because you want it, because you need it, because He's promised it and so on. No vain repetitions, no matter if you could record yourself on a tape recorder and replay it day in and day out if you want. It's not going to get you anywhere. The more you say it doesn't help. The sincerity of your prayer to God is always going to be answered if and when God can answer it for your good and His good. All right, let's dismiss.